The Art of Fire at Camp, Holly. Fire is used to be the source of life. It cooked your food, kept you warm, kept the boogeyman away, kept animals at bay, gave you somewhat self, maybe a false self security.
Yeah, absolutely. And so with that being said, now when you camp, it's not necessarily your only way to cook. Some people choose to make it their only way to cook.
They have the campfire, and then they bring a different unit in order to cook on that unit.
Yeah, like they might just enjoy the campfire or cook a few things on it, but then also use something like a stove.
Propane or stove.
Yeah, stove. I don't know. What else would you cook on? I think that's kind of your only two options.
Yeah, for the most part. Unless you're in a camper and you've got electricity hooked up and you're using a stove.
Right.
Electrical stove or propane stove or gas stove.
I guess, we're talking more primitive camping. But, so you can use fire. And when you and I camp, we typically only use fire.
Yes.
And I really enjoy that. I think a lot of times I get like 6 months worth of meat when we're camping versus other times. Mm-hmm. But it's enjoyable. And even I make my my hot water on the fire.
So let's talk about there. I mean, we would think you think maybe fire is a simplistic topic, and it's easy to just go and light a fire and have it and be done. But there's some techniques. There's some different products that can be used in order to get that fire started and or keep it going. And the hardest part in most situations is getting that fire going. Now, if you're in a primitive campsite, state park, or a hip camp, or you're on your own property, getting fire started is very different in all three realms there. Some people may choose to use lighter fluid, newspaper, duct tape, a torch.
Those little fire starter things?
Little pucks or cotton swab things that you open up and will burn for a few minutes.
Even like leaves.
Leaves. Birch bark is a very popular one on YouTube in places where they are, they're camping anywhere, really. I've seen them on private land and public land where they will harvest some birch bark. And birch bark is one of the few natural fire starters that will light even when wet because it has that fuel mechanism in the bark.
Like a paper almost.
Right.
Yeah. So you mentioned fire starters and, lighter fluid, et cetera. You can make your own fire starters with egg cartons. And what do you put in them?
You put you melt candle wax and you take dryer lint. You can mix in there. I guess you could mix shredded paper in that as well. But dryer lint seems to hold the fire in the egg carton, and then this has to be with the cardboard egg carton in order to do this. And then you can tear off each little individual chunk or egg storage portion, and like that. And that's got your homemade fire starter. Now,
I think fire starters are a good option for people who backpack or do like the walk in, walk out, hike in, hike out, because then you have to carry as much and you don't have a big jug of liquid.
Well, people will use ferrule rods and whatever mechanism of...
What's a ferrule rod?
A ferrule rod is that rod that you see people take the back of their knife and scrape with, and then they chunk off a magnesium stick as well. Magnesium burns, I think, at 3,000 degrees, and they'll dig out a chunk of magnesium and then strike it on the striker on the back, and then that will ignite the magnesium in which you can start a fire in very wet conditions. If the kindling's wet or the newspaper's wet or whatever your fire starter, that magnesium will ignite, but then you have to have some dry kindling in order to, even if you have to split kindling and twigs in half in order to get the dry portion of the wood to get that ignited. There's many, whichever mechanism of fire starting in which you choose to do or go camping with, bring a primary and a backup.
I agree. I think that's very important. And don't rely on the fact that we'll just find leaves or we'll just find this, or I'm pretty sure I can just use, this random newspaper in my car, because you might have cleaned that newspaper out of your car the week before, and you want to make sure that you do have a way to start your fire, get it going.
lighter butane torch.
Yeah.
What they call it, hurricane matches. They're like 5 inches long, very dense, and they will burn under water. They will not, you know, they won't be a flame, but the bubbling will occur, and then you bring it back out, and it'll ignite back to flame.
That sounds magical.
It's magical, but there's a lot of reviews, and they work quite well if you are concerned that you need a long burning mechanism in order to keep or get your fire started.
So when you make your own fire starter, yes, you do need some sort of wick situation.
Yes.
So don't think like you dump some shredded paper and some
dryer lint.
Yeah, dryer lint or shredded paper, whatever, and you have to have something to light it.
Yes. Yeah. Often people will light the chunk of cardboard that is attached to the egg carton. Some people.
So that could be your
wick. That could be the wick, yes. We had Dale from Five Bites YouTube channel on a couple of programs back, and he starts his campfires, public camps, with duct tape. Duct tape apparently is a very flammable material, and he creates basically a Christmas ribbon or bow, and then sets that in the base of the fire pit and ignites it, and then covers kindling on top of it, and then walks away. So he doesn't mess it up and extinguish it, and then that works quite well. Now you have to remember to bring some duct tape.
But a lot of people might just have duct tape in their car or whatever. So that makes a lot of sense, and I like that idea. When you are talking about making these DIY fire starters, obviously if you have old candles, or you could use crayons.
Crayons will work. If you are, well, with kindling, now you go on any camping YouTube channel and they are starting a fire and they're using some type of accelerant possibly or kindling. When we go camping, we've camped in state and hip camp locations. I will take, I guess it's like a 2 gallon bag. It's a canvas bag that some type of tent park came in, and I will load the bottom portions up with kindling from 2x4s, scrap 2x4s that I have cut and trimmed down here at home, and then the top quarter will be newspaper. So you start the newspaper, you put the newspaper down, then take the kindling that are very fine shreds, and then you lay that on top, and then you get your other wood ready to go, whether you found it at the campsite, if it's allowed, or you sneak and find it, or you have larger chunks of wood, and then you ignite it, and most times it goes. Sometimes you have to redo it and get it that way. And for those who are camping at state parks or places in which you can't go salvage for wood, it's a very costly hobby to have.
Yeah, it is costly because the wood itself, it costs like about $6.
Oh, we're $7.99 now.
$8.
For like 6 pieces of wood.
Yesterday I was at a state park just hiking, and I saw these people pull up to buy wood from the woodshed thing, and
these people you said they got money.
It was pretty obvious.
Okay.
They had a very fancy SUV, and they looked very fancy.
Wood wasn't an option. Money wasn't an option when buying wood.
No, because they just kept loading it in, and they couldn't figure out how many loads they had and how much it was. And they're like, okay. And then they're like, arguing, but showing each other, okay, go tell the guy we're taking 6 bundles or whatever. Oh, I don't know if I have enough cash. Do they take cards?
Well, I thought state parks all went to that cashless at this point.
I thought it said... When I went, actually, the office was open.
Uh-huh.
I went inside to use the bathroom, and I thought it said card only, but whatever. And so then she's like, I think I have more cash and here and blah,
blah,
blah.
Let's just say they got 7 bundles at $8 a piece.
I don't know. It was like $54.
$54 for
and
whatever.
It wasn't a lot of wood.
No, it's not. No, you.
But then they said this is really good wood. It was very dense. It did look nice.
Well, for $54, it better burn itself and burn all night long.
And then they said that it was saving them time. I don't think these ladies would have gone out to the woods and chopped their own trees down.
Where the podcast originates in Wisconsin, that is a forbidden no-no to go out and salvage for wood in state parks.
Right, and that is a no-no.
And I'm sure that the state parks are not very thrilled whenever you go to the campsite and you pick up little twigs and throw it in the campfire either to clean up the campsite, because that's like salvaging for wood, you know. depends on what kind of ranger you have around.
Yeah, and this is a very popular state park. It's very, I don't want to say patrolled, but there's a lot
monitored?
Of... Monitored? I don't know. They also will have, like, weekend breakfasts and stuff like that. They have, like, during the main part of the year for camping, so probably from, like, Memorial Day through Labor Day. It's very active, and there's a lot of activities there, and it's right along Lake Michigan, so it's like, a little fun
and the poor places in portions of the country that have fire bans, what's the point of going camping then?
I don't know. I'd be very sad.
The fire is the key element, whether you're cooking on it or not. It's the key element of the whole camping experience. Now, whenever you have land, you don't have to worry about spending $56 on wood. You can just buy a chainsaw and cut all the wood you want and just have any type of size fire that you choose to. I would say in moderation, because it doesn't hurt as bad.
No.
Whenever you have your own land and you're burning your own wood, that $8 for a bundle, whatever. We got a whole tree here.
Right. So, yeah, with that being said, I think that you should consider maybe trying a new fire starter way, or if you like to involve, making your own, if you have children or you just want to do it yourself.
Well, I think the kids need to know how to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I know how to start a fire. No, I know how
you're
to
not a
fire.
Child, but I mean,
I'm saying that
that's
I
a part of the way to get interacting.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, just go to the playground. We'll take care of this. We'll yell when it's time to eat.
No, I think you should show the children how to start a fire and also talk about fire safety.
Yes.
That's very important.
Fire extinguisher would be a very important. We talked about that, things that you may not consider bringing. To have on in your car or in your tent or your camper or on your property, your land, your cabin. Very important to have that and know how to use it. Just don't have it, because having it and not knowing how to use it is like having a sidearm and a bear coming at you and you've never shot that gun before ever and you're not really sure what to do.
Right. It's important
prepared,
to have the,
not scared.
The knowledge. Yeah.
So, yeah, take and stand, go with your standard fire-starting mechanism, but take and work through a list of, hey, this week we're going to try this. This week we're going to try that, just for fun.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.